Salam alaikum, shalom, salam alaikum, and peace be upon all of you. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you for the invite. And it's great to be able to connect to our wider community to discuss such a very sophisticated issue. I don't claim at all that I am going to touch much on this subject, as it is quite deep and the question is quite big. And I am not that know-it-all person, nor I think that I should be. And I think that might open, or this opportunity, hopefully, part of the solution, could open a channel for future workshops where followers of different faiths are able to discuss things in more details and find quite practical solutions to tackle the issues that has been accumulated or facing our own young people. Not only young, we're just focusing on the young today, but actually the devices, the new technology is impacting all of us. I can show you, this is one, this is two, and at home I have other things, and my kids have got even more sophisticated things than I. Let me just start by saying that Islam, if we go to the linguistic level, we will find that the word Islam has got the same root with the word salam, peace, and the word salama. And salama means well-being. And another word which is sallama, submitted. In a religious essence, Islam is achieving peace and well-being through submission to God. So here you can find that the linguistical meaning is meeting with the religious terminology. So in this life, we are trying to survive to achieve peace and well-being through submission to God. You will find a lot of words echoing what my colleagues have already touched on. Because again, they're not aliens, nor I am. We came from very close backgrounds, and we have a lot of things in commonality, as that light has came from the same lamp. This is the definition of Islam, and that's why we have the greeting of Islam is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, peace be upon you. This is how we greet each other. And not only that, but one of the beautiful names of God in Islam is As-Salam, the peace, the source of peace. Not only that, but the paradise itself is called in the Quran, Darus Salam, the house of peace. So is it, the question, is it really about technologies itself that we are concerned about, or what that technology is bringing forward as challenges impacting our life and our kids' life? I think it's the latter. So you may recall, some maybe, I was a little boy when we had the TV in the 70s, and that was a big thing. But there was a lot of questions before that about the TV. It's a big technology, you know, and whether that is going to make families in control or not. And how do we deal with this? So there was the same question at the time. I think the question, as I said, needs to address the content rather than the technology itself. It's like a knife. We could cut apples with the knife, or we could do something negative or bad with the knife. So it's about our usages or use of the knife. God, we believe as Muslims, has created us to establish stewardship on the face of the earth. And again, I'm going to meet with, indeed, my sisters and brothers here in Christianity and Judaism. So we are stewards. We need to achieve, in that stewardship, we need to achieve three connections. Connection to the Creator, connection to the self, and connection to everything else, not even others, not even only human, but human and animals, plants, and everything in this universe, we need to establish a good connection. And here we come to talk about or tackle a connection. But connection without presence is not a connection. So we need to have presence. And that's why in the prayer, we have been taught a way of the prayer that we our presence, our consciousness needs to be brought forward. And before we pray, we go for ablution. Ablution is washing hands, face, cleaning the nose, the mouth, wiping the hair, arms, feet. Nearly is going to be a shower. And this is 5 times a day. And then after that, when we start the prayer facing a direction, which gives a direction to the nation, right? We go Allahu Akbar. So we start with this and we end the prayer with Assalamu Alaikum. It's again salam. Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullah, peace be upon you. We don't say that to God because God is the source of peace. To whom do we say that when we go Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullah? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We say to the angels and the people around us, or and everybody in the world, because that is about 180 degree, right, of the world, and this is the other 180, totaling, making 360. So this is how a Muslim worship God. It's achieving that peace, and it won't be achieved till I am connected to my Creator. I am connected to myself, and I am connected to everybody else. And that will bring us to the four walls of the house. The physical body, the spirituality, the family, and mentality. So we're talking about four walls that we model, which is in Maori culture. And it is very touching to find this too, because we are, at the end of the day, we are human beings. Even if we don't have the same religion, or even Abrahamic religions, we still have a lot of things in common. And indeed, the wisdom source is one. And that source has given us our minds to think with. And that's why we have a lot of commonalities. So how am I going to achieve that connection with my God? How am I going to achieve my connection with myself? And how am I going to achieve my connection with everybody else? This is that what Islam answers in the Quran itself, in the prophetic tradition of Prophet Muhammad, and in many other sources that comes to highlight. Coming to the big question of social media use and technology, I found in a very humble experiment that engaging youth in practical things and getting their hand dirty is very beneficial. We have got about over 25 youth over the last 15 years in my humble organization who became very successful in life. I think they are. One of them is Muhammad Hassan. He's a poet, and his parents wanted him to be an engineer. Well, he finished, but he carried on and he became a journalist. So he decided for himself what he wanted. And he has a beautiful book about what it means to be a Muslim. Muhammad Hassan, a Kiwi Muslim from an Egyptian or Arabic descent. So one of the guys who used to lead the camp, what are we planning as a small community to address in this camp, coming camp in December, for young people 16 plus, mainly boys? Or men, young men. Now, I started to have this discussion with the leaders, and they wanted to address the alpha model. And this is invading, you know, everywhere in the websites, on the TikTok, and Instagram, and many, many social platforms. So what does Islam say about that? What is that model that we need to follow? Sometimes, even as Muslims, we get we're feeling lost in the middle of the busyness and the overwhelming of the information. This is the age of overwhelming. When you try to search for anything on the internet, or you Google it, how many articles are you going to find? Thousands? Hundreds of thousands? Millions?
What is that?
Wow. And this is open sources. Anybody can reach. I understand that there is NetSafe, which is great, but again, we're still worried. We're still worried because of the too much and the overwhelming information that it has good, great things, but it has bad too. I remember that as young people, our mom would just take us from the street, you know, or from where we were in the field playing soccer all the day. I remember this. And I tried to compare this to the parents like mine trying to take the kids out to go and play in the field. Very ironic, isn't it? We have about, and I was talking to my brother David Bloxit about this, nearly one-fifth of the Quran about the natural phenomena. Where are we going to put this? Are we connected to the nature? How are we going to connect ourselves and our young ones with the nature? You know, when we go for a trip, you know, some of the youngest, maybe not the oldest, the youngest daughter will try to take her iPad and we go, no. Or a small device, gaming something, don't know the name. So even going on a trip means that I am not as a father or as a parent to have my family well connected during this. What can I do? So isn't it a big challenge? Now in a study that I like to share some of the outcomes, a Muslim study in Australia mainly focusing mainly on Melbourne. Just addressing the question is what can we do? But this is very focusing on a very specific problem. Because the problems and the challenges are quite huge. They are huge. Why? Because again, the devices and the high tech is able, as I shared with you, and as all of you know, and I appreciate that, can bring millions of outcomes of your research. Let aside the other aspects that could highlight good stuff, but negative stuff that my colleague has touched on. The study says that when people were unable to connect through a school or places of worship, young participants perceived social media as a space where they could establish their identity and feel a sense of belonging. Isn't that very positive? It is. And it is great that they have got some platform to share this. And at least a way to deal with even peer pressure. I know someone who would go intermediate school. She would go to her bathroom to eat her own lunch. This is very sad. I'm not saying that this is because of only social media, but it could be contributing towards it. And then the researcher carries on. Participants were also at risk of being exposed to discrimination and unrealistic standards of beauty and success, body shaming. So now, and again, this is another challenge, that beauty is very relative, you know, and even dress-wise. You know, if I walk this like this in the city here, how many people are going to look at me like, where do I came from the Middle Ages? You know, so again, it's something that even color-wise, what we see as not great colors, maybe in Africa they are the greatest. So today, especially even our young women, find it very difficult to keep up with the new standards of beauty. So why is that? Again, there is a pressure. And this is coming from different technologies and including social platforms on the internet. It carries on and says, Although parents and young people shared some similar concern, there was a large digital divide in online experience. Both groups implemented strategies to reduce social media use, with young people believing that having short technology-free breaks during prayer and quality family time was beneficial for both the family and the young ones, for their well-being. So this is a win-win situation. We cannot say, I cannot say to my kids anymore, they're not kids, they are, some of them are graduated and they're working. I cannot say, hey, what are you doing? No, even in controlling, the timing is beyond my capacity. It's not my call anymore. I may advise indirectly and in a nice way, you know, whatever I want to share with my kids. Otherwise, they might take it like my dad. Our dad is very controlling. So the research found that when we come to a win-win situation where, you know what, if we are going to have lunch or dinner, nothing needs to be around, or at the time of the prayer. Would like to just also touch on something else as my time is up. Answering the question, what can we do in addition to the outcome of the research? I think we need to create a practical connection and presence with our Creator, ourselves, and others through series of very interactive and attractive events and activities. We have planned in the past as Muslim groups to do tree planting. It was very successful. You cannot go with your phone unless something is wrong, you know, while planting a tree, you know. And blood donation. And we started to connect with some environmental project in the shore in Auckland to do some compost workshops and other things to just to draw the attention of our young ones and ourselves to connect to the nature. And hopefully we will have a project of tree planting where we can have a name for each person to the tree and then keep bringing them, you know, come and have a look at your tree, you know. And then, you need to attend the workshop of compost because of your tree. It's your tree. So we are not going to get anything for free. We'd like to pay for the tree, go plant it, and buy whatever it needs to grow it. Cowrie trees go for 2,000 years. So we can leave a good legacy behind, as we have received well by others who might have died. We'd like to leave something good. Thank you very much for listening, and thanks for the invite. Assalamu alaikum.